Thanks, Shane. Evening, listeners, and welcome to The Grapple here on this Thursday, the 22nd of August. Yes, more people and microphones.
Yeah.
Good evening, Robbo. Good to have you in the studio.
Good to be back.
It's great to have you back with that bearded fungus face. Good morning. Good evening, Mal. How are you?
Very well, mate. Just made it in time.
And Steve Buchanan, welcome back.
Yeah, good. Good to be back.
Great to have you in the studio with us yet again. Well, listeners, we have a big program, of course, Motor Talk at 7 p.m, but with no time to waste, we're previewing the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League Grand Finals this Saturday at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. Seven clubs, four grades, and the Division 1 at 5:30 on Saturday afternoon, Stanley River up against Caboolture, and we're going to chat with the managers of both the Caboolture and Stanley River teams, get some inside information, the latest goss. So to start us off tonight, a warm welcome to Tim Wood, manager of the Caboolture Snakes. Evening, Tim.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, team. How are we all?
We're fine.
Very good.
All good.
We've got Robbo with us, Tim, and we'll talk about the refereeing later on. But, mate, they'll take underhand payments.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, Robbo.
Brown paper bags.
No, that's not the case. No, not at all. Well, Tim, Caboolture into the grand final. Of course, lost to Stanley River in the major semi-final. And how are you going to turn things around on Saturday?
Oh, look, there's no doubt it's going to be a tough ask. Stanley's put together a very, very quality football side. So we're going to have to be at our best. But, you know, we've shown that we can match it with the Rivers boys. As you would have seen, we probably played the game of the year earlier in the year when we fought out a 26-all draw here at the Snake Pit. And each of our games since then, they've been, you know, pretty closely contested. There's just a 15-minute patch sort of in the mid part of the second half over at the graveyard where we fell away, and, you know, they're such a classy outfit, they just take advantage of that. So we have to be at our best. We can't make mistakes. We have to be disciplined, and that's what will get us over the line.
Yes, that certainly would appear to be the case, because, against Kiwanis last Saturday, you were behind 26-18, 19 to go. And Mitchell Bucket, he raced through a gap as big as Sydney Heads to score one of his two tries. But the bounce of the ball at the end of the game, Tim, in that 35th minute when Connor Cox was able to snaffle that ball, I suppose, away from the fullback, Joseph Lowe, put it down next to the post, and that was the game.
Well, I have to correct you there. It was actually it was incorrectly recorded there. That was actually Scotty Maddox that got that ball.
Scotty Maddox. Oh, gee whiz. We must have all had our glasses fogged up.
Oh, it was pretty highly emotional stuff. I didn't really know who scored it at the time. I just knew that we were under the post. But, it was quite an exceptional game, Gordon. It was a few twists and turns there. And, look, we knew we were up against it, against that Kiwanis side. They're very young, very enthusiastic, and very fit. And we knew we had to hang in there. We couldn't have any lapses. When we got behind, we were 10 points behind there at one point in time. You know, the guys just hung in, and we knew that when we had the ball in good territory, we were making yards and we were getting tries. But it was just a matter of hanging onto the ball, being disciplined, not giving cheap turnovers. And once we got that possession right, the scoreboard speaks for itself. The guys really, you know, they were tenacious. They defended that line amazingly. And then when the opportunity presented itself, and yeah, poor old Joey. I've had a lot to do with Joey over the years. He'll have nightmares about that one. But you know, you make your own luck, and we maintain the pressure, and we got away with the win. And here we are in the big dance.
Yes, and Andrew Davies, your live wire hooker, 5 goals.
Yeah, 5 from 5. Absolutely nailed it. And that's sort of been an issue we've had throughout the year with Josh Totoro coming in and out of A grade. You know, we've sort of struggled for a goal kicker, but Andrew's put a lot of time in at training to get that accuracy right. And wow, on the night, 5 from 5, fantastic.
Yes, it certainly was a great effort by Andrew. And, of course, you mentioned Scotty Maddock. He's been an absolute outstanding player for you for this season and seasons past.
Yeah, look, Scotty's been a stalwart of Caboolture for many, many years. And, you know, he's just such a live wire, energetic character. He always, you know, creates his own opportunities. You never know what's going to happen when Scotty's on the park. And, you know, that's just what we need as we move into these tougher games and obviously into the grand final. But, you know, it's interesting to see. I mentioned that Scotty's been around for a number of years. We've used 39 players this year, Gordon, and out of that, 31 of those players are either local juniors or have never played for any other senior club apart from Caboolture, which I think sort of speaks a lot about our culture and where we're at. And I think it's got us to where we are now. You know, everyone's bought in and everyone's ready to rock and roll.
Well, that certainly is great. And as we said, that 26-all draw during round seven and certainly was a wonderful game earlier in the season. You led 14-10 in the major semi-final out there at Woodford. But, gee, anything can happen in the grand final. A bounce of the ball, as was shown last Saturday with that bounce with the for the Kiwanis fullback, certainly shows you that the game can go either way. Well, Tim Wood, manager of the Caboolture Snakes, good luck on Saturday in the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League First Grade Division 1 game, the Advantage Home Cups game against Stanley River. It's at 5:30 p.m. up there at Sunshine Coast Stadium. All the best, and I hope it's a great game.
Thank you very much, Gordon. See you up there.
No problems at all. Well, of course, that was a Tim Wood, the manager of the Caboolture Snakes. And Robbo, he certainly, you know, he says they're in it with the show.
Well, they got there for a reason. So half the battle of the season, of course, is getting there. And once you're there, anything can happen. Like the game's a completely different game on that on the big one at the end.
It certainly will be.
Turns around. I've seen some teams you would never expect to win come up and win those games.
Mm. Well, the 3:30 game, Division 2A, Beerware will take on Coolum. 1:45, Division 2B, Beechmere and Kilcoy. And in the under-18s game at 12 o'clock, Beechmere up against Kiwanis. Well, listeners, we're going to talk now to Russell Klein, the manager of the Stanley River team. Of course, we just spoke to Tim Wood from Caboolture. And Russell, big welcome to you to the Grapple this evening.
Yeah, thanks very much. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you join us, Russell. Well, can the fairy tale come to fruition for the first time? Can the fairy tale be turned, you know, into a win in the grand final on Saturday afternoon?
Look, I'd love to say, Gordon, that yes, that would be marvellous. But obviously we've got a really hard game of football to get through. And we need to be at our best, you know. Caboolture have shown all year how resolute they are. They never give in. So, yeah, it'd be a fairy tale ending, but the history is littered with things that go wrong with fairy tales. So we'll be doing our best. That's all I can say, mate.
Well, as you said, it's the first attempt to win the title since 2002, but the team out of the Division 1 for so many years, back in this year, through to the grand final. We've asked this question a couple of times. Has it exceeded everyone's expectations, and what's the feeling in the community out at Woodford?
Yeah, look, to answer the second question first, it'd be that the community's a buzz. It's wonderful. We're here at training at the moment, actually, and it's an opportunity for people to come and book their shirts and grand final shirts and bus tickets, and there are a lot of people coming through the club this evening. Yeah, and there's a lot of emotion around town about the footy. We are a football town. We love our rugby league out here. We don't have any of those the other competing sports here in Woodford, so we have a very strong and loyal support base. Yeah, and you know, as for expectations, look, I knew that the team that we were assembling, there's 8 or 9 local juniors in the side, which is good, but there are a lot of friendships there that brought some players to the club, some even mid-season. So we didn't set out probably with winning grand finals as the goal, but as the season progressed and the squad came together, you know, we realised we've got a very good side here. So our expectations are now that if we play our best football, we can win this match.
And Russell, if I was to ask you as the manager, what has been probably the most significant or the key element in the rebirth this year?
I think when we came together last October to our first meeting here with the club, and my twin boys come along, and there was that core of former juniors that were immediately on board, and it wasn't such a task to develop a squad. Obviously, we would have liked our reserve grade and 18s to have had better seasons. Mind you, it's almost a pass mark for reserve grade. They finished, I think, about 7th. And our 18s, they did struggle. So, yeah, look, you know, just in developing sides for the future, that's very important to us that the 18s come through better next year, and we're not scraping for numbers. And I think the fact that, you know, we've, no matter what happens on Saturday, we've developed a culture and a following here that may attract some other players that have left the club in their youth, because there wasn't any senior teams really to look up to, you know, not in a first grade sense, and that may bring them back, and that's certainly a focus of ours going forward. We want to bring back our former juniors.
Well, it's certainly fantastic sentiments and fantastic thoughts as you try to take the club forward into next season. Well, of course, as we said, the grand final in the Vantage Home Cups Division 1 game this Saturday, 5:30 p.m. at Sunshine Coast Stadium. You're up against Caboolture, and of course, looking forward to seeing Rowan and Callum in action. But just a quick word about your fullback, Corey Parker. He doesn't mind getting his hands dirty into that back line.
Well, Corey is affiliated with the Falcons. He did get a first-grade game with the Falcons in Queensland Cup probably about a month ago, and I believe he got man of the match in that game, which is testament to how strong that competition is to get a spot. So he did wonderfully well to do that, but he's an awesome player. He can fill any position in the three-quarter line, so right at the moment, you know, he's had a great run at fullback and he deserves his opportunity there this weekend.
Well, Russell Klein, the manager of the Stanley River Wolves, good luck with your match on Saturday, 5:30 in the grand final, and let's hope it's a great game of rugby league.
Thanks very much, Gordon, and thanks for your coverage of the game. I would say that, just as a reminder to people, this is 40 years ago this season that Caboolture and Stanley Rivers played a grand final at the Nambour Showgrounds. Stanley Rivers were victorious that day, and I was lucky enough to be a member of that, so it's amazing to see history repeating itself.
Well, let's see what happens this Saturday at the Sunshine Coast Stadium. Russell Klein, all the best for the Stanley River team, and we'll see that result after the weekend. Well, Robbo, Steve, Mal, Shane, great grand finals coming up this Saturday. Sunshine Coast Stadium should be some fantastic footy. Stanley River and Caboolture in the Vantage Home Cups Division 1 game. Beerware and Coolum in the Division 2A. Beachmere and Kilcoy in the 2Bs. And in the under-18s, Beachmere and Kiwana. Gates open around about 11 o'clock, I think it is. Ticket prices, adults 15. Age pension of 5, under 16's free. And there's also the fastest man and woman in the Sunshine Coast Rugby League race at halftime of the main
game.
And you've got an entrant, Robbo.
We have.
In the refereeing ranks.
The under-18 national beach champion, so.
He's got to be in his full gear, though.
He'll have to be, buddies, muggies and all.
Is he on a handicap start, is he?
He's not blowing the whistle to start it, is he? Toss of the coin. I can see it now. Away we go. Anyway, we're looking forward to grand final day on Saturday, sorry, Sunshine Coast Stadium. 7 clubs, 4 grades. And as we said, will it be a fairy tale finish for the Stanley River Wolves, or will Caboolture step up from their 2018 preliminary final loss? Let's see what happens.
Who says that rugby league is, anything but boring? It's exciting up here
on the Sunshine Coast?
Yes.
Always is.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got eight out of the eight. Well, that's 4 games and 8 teams. There's 7 teams.
That's 7 clubs. Exactly
seven
right.
Clubs involved.
That's a great representation.
8 games. That's
it is.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
A good
and,
spread.
Of course, that's during the 100th season of the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League.
Yeah, so history in the making.
It certainly will be. And interesting with Russell saying that about 40 years ago. The Wolves got the bacon, the goodies in.
Yeah, who knows how it's going to go this time.
Who knows how it will pan out. Well, listeners, we'll go to our first break here on The Grapple. And we'll be joined after the break, unfortunately, by Shane Moon. We'll be talking to Mooney, the latest update from the Cowboys. We're going to talk about the team of the decade, and he'll provide his Niff Nuff Award. And, of course, don't forget, Macca joins us just after 6:40 this evening, and we'll have a chat about the team of the decade. Peter Beattie and Nathan Brown going, going, gone. And we'll preview round 23 of the NRL here on The Grapple, 101.5 FM Sports. And I would say warm welcome to our spy north of the border up in North Queensland there. Shane Moon, evening, Shane.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, boys.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening, Shane, on that panel.
Yeah.
Don't shut me down. You've benched me for the last 3 weeks. I've been sitting on the bench waiting to get my gear on, and my boots haven't even got dirt on them, so they're looking good for the semis.
Hang on, they have sand up there, don't they?
But you always played in bare feet. There's actually a very good... I've actually had a phone call late this afternoon from Ash at the Alex Surf Club, because tomorrow morning is the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League grand final breakfast. He's just so pleased you won't be there because there'll be enough breakfast for everybody else. So, just a phone call. Ash, thanks very much for ringing in. I really appreciate it, well and truly.
Yeah, Tell Ash I'll be there shortly.
Now, what's happening with the Cowboys? First of all, we just need to make sure that Matt Scott's okay.
Yeah, well, mate, Matt Scott's just the talk of the town up here. You just can't stop everyone. I expect big things from the boys, the way everyone's talking around the club up here and the community. They're really getting behind the Cowboys, I know, but... they've been really poorly lately, and the Blackhawks have been their only guiding light until last week when they got knocked over by the Falcons. Pretty easy, but, mate, it's all for Scotty up here. I think you're going to see a huge crowd come out, and he won't play again. And this is the last home game, I think, for them up here. I don't think they've got another one. I think this is pretty well lit, and I think they're all going to turn out. They all remember JT's last home game, and... it's a shame that Scotty can't go out the same way.
Yes, we just hope that he'll be fully recovered from that stroke that they've indicated. And, of course, as you've said, the Cowboys up against the Panthers Friday night, 6 o'clock. And will we see the real Panthers stand up, or will the Cowboys cause an upset?
Mate, I've taken the Panthers, but I wish I had a change in my bet at the last minute, because I think the Panthers are going to... hate Queensland. They got touched up pretty ordinary by the ponies last week, and I think Cowboys last home game, Matt Scott, Jonathan Thurston's apparently ever going to turn up and have a big thing there for Scotty. But I think don't be surprised if there's a big turnover here and the Cowboys get up, but I'll stick to my guns and take chances. I don't know why, But Cowboys, I think I'd be happy to see them win.
Yes, there'll be plenty of emotion in that game. And, of course, you mentioned the Blackhawks. They're sitting, I think it's fourth on the ISC ladder.
Yeah, still fourth.
And they take on second place Wynnum this weekend in a very important, that's the penultimate round, the second last round of the ISC, round 22. So a very important match. Yes.
That's up here on Saturday. So they've got big things planned up here. For the Cowboys, a big day. They're actually playing the prelim game in the lead-up to the Cowboys and Wynnum. Is actually the Townsville Police playing the Townsville Fireys in a game of rugby league, raising funds for mental health and that for the Fireys and the Police. So, yeah, it'll be a good day.
It certainly sounds that way. Now, the NRL, their team of experts and... pundits and I suppose all they know more than we do have picked their team of the decade, and keen to hear your thoughts and comments on that, Shane Moon.
Well, I think that they've damn well got it close. I think all those players deserve to be there. Is there anyone missing? Yes, there is, but it all comes down to each individual. But I don't think there's anyone in that team that shouldn't be there or shouldn't get an opportunity. And you have a look at it, you've got three Cowboys and three Melbourne players, and if you put them together, they're almost the heart of Queensland. Tom Morello's the only one that is in a Queensland. No wonder they won 27 years of State of Origin when you look at those players.
Yes, well, you've got Billy Slater at fullback, Jared Hayne and Brett Morris on the wings, Justin Hodges and Inglis in the centres, Thurston at 5'8", Tronk at half, Matt Scott, Cameron Smith, Jesse Bromwich up front, Boyd Cordner, Sam Burgess, Jason Taumalomo, Paul Gallen on the bench with Sonny Bill Williams, Luke Lewis and Jamie Lyon. And if you didn't make the team of the decade, you made the second team of the decade.
Or the third. Or the fourth.
But tell me, really, is there anybody in there you think that doesn't deserve that opportunity to be in that team?
Well, I'd certainly throw that open to the panel. Robbo, what do you think?
Yeah. I think they're all deserving. It probably wouldn't be my, some of those players there wouldn't be my pick, but as Shane was saying, it's just on what, how you see players, and it's your own individual thoughts, isn't it, really, at the end of the day. But they are deserving to be there, there's no doubt.
There's no doubt. Mel?
Well, it's pretty cut and dry in a lot of positions, and everyone could argue over probably four spots, but the four you put in over the four that's in would be identical.
Steve Buchanan?
Exactly the same. It really depends on who's picking the team. Everyone's going to have their own things, but I think they've got it pretty close.
I think so. I think it's very close to the market. And, of course, when you look at the number two team with Tedesco, Rad Radra, Will Chambers, Steve Maddai was one that I questioned, Val Holmes, Munster, Maloney, Graham, Michael Morgan, Jared Weir Hargraves, Wade Graham, Sam Thydane, Corey Parker, Andrew Fafita, the two Tavoyevich brothers, and RTS. The only one that I questioned out of all of those was Steve Maddai.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm certainly Bill in the ones. He hasn't played a lot of league. He played a few years. He didn't play too many. Friday was, mate, he's had a cracker. He's been a really great servant of the game. And I think Steve Maddai was a lightweight. I really do. I think there's 110 centres out there running around that would run around Maddai in a pinch of assault, mate. Fair dinkum. He's very ordinary.
He wasn't consistent enough.
Yeah, he was the only one that I really questioned. Well, we'll talk to Greg McCallum just after 6:40 tonight. We'll get Macca's thoughts on that. And I suppose, Shane Moon, we now need to move to probably the pinnacle of the program. Every fortnight, the pinnacle, the apex, the most important part of the grapple, the Niff Nuff Award.
There's been lots of candidates over the last 3 weeks. I haven't had a chance to do this, but there was one that really stood out to me this week, and that was Mitchell Moses has been talking about how he's really happy and he's really blessed that the Dogs went and bought the Cripple. He's been to 77 clubs and failed at every one and been paid $1 million to fail. So, actually, Dogs definitely get the Gift Stuff Award for the week because they are a bunch of gift stuff. They made two mistakes on one deal. They bought the Cripple for $1.5 million and they could have Mitchell Moses for $500,000. And look, he's laughing now. Parramatta all the way to the top four. And the Dogs will be showing up tonight for the Parramatta and Mitchell Moses' brilliance. Dogs, don't even miss nothing. You are idiots.
Well, of course, Mitchell Moses learned.
Hold back,
Mitchell
there.
Moses.
Yeah.
Mitchell Moses learned all his football at the West Tigers, Robbo. So that's where you know Parramatta are getting the benefit of the West Tigers training.
For the first 20 years,
that's what he's
exactly right. That's through the Holy Cross, right there.
When he captained Parramatta under 20, he's the president's captain of women.
Well, Shane Moon, it's been great to have you join us for your usual session with us, and good luck with the Cowboys in their game tomorrow night against the Panthers, and we'll look forward
I'll
to chatting to you.
I'm going there and let you know what it's all up like. My crowd will be packed out.
No problems. Let's hope you don't get a seat. Well,
I got reserve seating for Shane Moon.
Is that right? Must be outside the ground. Well, Shane, we'll look forward to chatting to you in a fortnight's time.
In the front seat of your car, the car park, isn't it?
Great to have you join us here on 101.5 FM Sports.
It's always a great pleasure to chat to Shane Moon, and of course, his Niff Nuff Award's gone to the Doggies. I thought it might have gone to Trent Barrett for Trent Barrett taking all of the glory and the, I suppose, claim for the fame of where Manly are sitting at the moment, but we'll leave that one alone. Mm. We'll leave that alone well and truly.
Contentious.
Yes, well and truly. Well, of course, the ISC, round 21 last week, and we had a good win by the Falcons over the Black Hawks, as Shane said, 40-18. Hooker Harry Grant was outstanding. And, of course, this weekend the Black Hawks will take on Wynnum. That's four up against two. And the Bears will take the Falcons on the Falcons. That's three up against one. So two top matches this weekend in the ISC. And, of course, the Black Hawks will – they're sitting in fourth spot. And, of course, the Falcons, they're 6 points clear, top of the ladder, can't lose the minor premiership. Well, we're going to be talking to Macca. We'll talk about Peter Beattie and Nathan Brown. And, geez, Nathan Brown's certainly dropping the bucket on Wayne Bennett. Hasn't missed Wayne. And, of course, the coach sackings. I just mentioned the AFL. Ross Lyon gone. There's a clean out at the Dragons. So it's just been another week in the sport. And it's interesting to note that the Dragons clean out, they're going to let Matt Dufty and Ewan Aitken go. And they've also dispensed with Ben Hornby and Dean Young, the assistants for Paul McGregor. So how long has Paul McGregor got?
He's just hanging there with a nice head now, isn't he, I'd say.
Mal, you're a Dragons supporter. What's the goss? What's happening?
The goss is he kept Hornby and Dean Young too long. And now he's in a situation where it's biting him.
And then you read this afternoon where the Dragons are interested in signing Josh Reynolds, that they're going to let Dufty and Ewan Aitken go. It must be that $500,000 that the West Tigers are offering to get rid of Reynolds that's appealing to the Dragons.
Two for one.
Two for one offer.
I'm wondering why Tim Laffey is still there.
Talking about cripple.
Two for one. Exactly. Buy one, get one free. But no, I'm just amazed with the Dragons. It just seems incredible. Anyway.
A lot of hierarchy saying, oh, we're going to bring David Ferner and Barrett down. That'll fix it all up. But Paul McGregor's still the head coach.
Exactly right. And unless they're wanting a succession plan. And, you know, of course, Paul McGregor would have to agree to the appointment of his assistant coaches. Well and truly. I see, Robbo, that David Fifita... The Broncos are already saying they won't be able to match the offer that the Warriors apparently are going to make for him. He is a good footballer.
He is, and I think that's where he's going to end up. And I find it difficult that the Broncos can't match, but I don't know what's happened there in the past.
They've run out of brown paper bags. That's what's happened.
That sounds a bit of an oxymoron to me, that the Broncos can't afford to keep someone.
Exactly right.
But if Darius... hangs it up this year, that might free a few dollars up.
He might be asked to retire, you never know. And I see that Warriors hooker Isaac Luke, he's put his hand up to join the Tigers, obviously with the vacancies at the West Tigers, with the injuries to their top two hookers. And there's an interesting note now that former Dragons and Eels hooker Cameron King in England might be coming over.
There's a lot of the English players coming back into the NRL lately, isn't there? They're really starting to get their feet in. Oh, there's a lot of NRL players, you know, there also, but they seem to be a lot more coming over here for their own development, aren't they?
Yes, they certainly
are. I think
it's
a good step for them.
And Dylan Walker, he's ready to put football and happiness ahead of money. Well, I've never heard that from a footballer before, admitting he's prepared to take a pay cut at Manly beyond 2019, and he wants to secure his future, and he stated wants to stay at Manly with Dr. Dez. Salary cap squeeze for the Eagles, and... gee, he may not get what he's asking for.
I hope he's not living in the area. I'll take a pay cut on where he's living.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with that court case that sort of went away nicely.
Yeah, very true.
Maybe, yes, you never know what may have happened there. And, Mal, again, the Dragons, Jack DeBellin, he has conceded his legal battle with the NRL, dropping his appeal against the controversial no-fault stand-down rule.
It was a waste of time having him in the club all year training.
Unbelievable.
Rubbing off on the other players.
They did get a $200,000 salary cap exemption for him for that time he's been out. But, gee, he was so adamant about that appeal, and now maybe it's legal advice, or maybe it could come down to just cost. Maybe he could get with Israel Folau and launch a GoFundMe page or whatever.
That's possible.
To help fund the legal bills, which no doubt would be very exorbitant.
Yeah, I don't think Jack DeBellin's got too much help from upstairs, though, has he?
I don't think so.
No.
No, and of course that...
Israel Folau's looking for a bit of that.
Well and truly. So... gee, it's interesting what does happen with Jack DeBellin, because his court case is, set for March next year now.
I don't think we'll see him around.
I don't think we'll see him. No. I don't think he'll be back.
I like watching him as a player. He started really hitting the straps there, didn't he? And it's come along pretty well.
Life was good. Origin was great. Girlfriend was pregnant.
And he was performing very, very well indeed. But I don't think we'll be seeing him yet again. And that's the way it goes. But again, it was... you go through all of this length and time and money to say you're going for the appeal, and then suddenly you withdraw. So it must have been legal advice.
It has to be legal advice.
Certainly
does. Can't keep throwing money after you're not going to win.
No, you certainly can't. Well and truly.
It just goes to show you nothing good happens after midnight.
And as I keep saying, the only winners out of all of this has always been and will only ever be the legal eagles and the solicitors. No one else wins from these at all.
Absolutely.
No.
That's the way it always has been, and that's the way it will continue to be. Well, as we said, listeners, the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League Grand Finals coming up this weekend, and of course, Robbo, the referees will be in action.
We certainly will be.
So, who's been appointed?
We've got four good teams out there. It's like everything else this time of year. Everyone's buying for positions. You know, they've worked hard, as the clubs do. Our referees work hard too through the season to get that opportunity, because we all want to be in the grand final. So we have put four good teams, and the thing I like about what we've put together is that with the referees, a lot of them have come through our development program that was established firstly, late Richie Johnson set up. A lot of the referees, Jake Stanton, James Harbage, they all come through as young guys joining the association. They're 14, 15, and they work their way through now, right up to the stages with John Topp and Eddie Ward in the QRL. So we're down to 18s. We've got a good team with Lockie Sutton and Connor Baker and Harrison Lee. They've been together now for the last three games. They've been performing really well. Lockie Sutton's another up-and-coming in the at the QRL squad. Div 2B, I think, is going to be an interesting game. It's Beachmere and Kilcoy. I don't think there's too much love lost in that side. So we've got Corey Vallicott running that with Phil Hennessy as a long stayer, and young Carly Beattie is the two lines. Corey's he's a referee. He's had some injuries the last couple of years, but he's this year he's really improved 100%. He's been involved in a number of carnivals, so he's worked hard and he's really deserving his spot. Div 2, because we've got the BOI and Coolum, we've got Dylan Casty, Phil Roberts and Casey Keane, all regular Div 1 referees. Dylan, again, is not from the area. He's been in the area for about 6 years now, but he is from Bundaboo, but he is also involved in Richie Johnson's Wide Bay talent squad. So he's come through the grades and also does a lot of games down there in Brisbane, or State League. Phil's he comes from the Nambour area, local. Casey Keane is also from the area. So, and then at Div 1, we've got Stanley Rivers and Caboolture. We've got Jake Stanton did the game last year, and we've got James Harbage and Marcus Fitzgerald. Marcus is from the Brisbane area, but he's been with us a couple of years now, so he's going great guns. James, I must say about James, he's doing the line, but this year he refereed the under-18 Nationals. It's the first time a Queensland referee's involved.
Robbo, we'll go to our break, and after the break we'll continue that chat because we'll have our ace rugby league referee, Greg McCallum, to chat as well here on 101.5 FM.
And we're joined live online now by our resident NRL expert, former first grade referee, Greg McCallum. Evening, Macca.
Evening, Gordon. Good evening, everyone.
We've got Robbo, we've got Mal, we've got Steve in the studio this evening. We're just talking to Robbo about the appointment of the referees for the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League Grand Final this weekend, Macca.
And, good, and who are they?
And we'll just do the first Division 1 referees. Robbo?
We've got Div 1, we've got Jake Stanton, James Harbage and Marcus Fitzgerald is their team we've got running on the field. Jake's they're all locals, except for Marcus Acquilis, come from Brisbane. I've been here for a couple of years. James Harbage and Jake Stanton come through our development program as young kids. So they all involved with Eddie Ward's academy in Brisbane was the Q Cup, the state league. So they're a good team, and as I was just saying before, that James Harbage has refereed the under-18 Nationals, and it was the first time a Queensland referee actually got appointed to the middle of the Nationals.
That's wonderful. Yeah, so what a great thing, and congratulations to all of them.
I was just saying on the break there, you know, there were some disappointments, but it's a hard life out there, as you know. Guys are trying to get that appointment, and the grand final is a big day for everybody. So
no, it
so
is, and when you get it, you got to enjoy it and make sure that you know you give it your best shot.
Exactly right, Macca, and we're congratulating the referees. And we thought we'd let Robbo have the last say because the referees always have the final say. So that's the way we thought we'd finish the preview of the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League Grand Finals. Division 1, Stanley River against Caboolture. That match at 5:30 at Sunshine Coast Stadium on Saturday. Well, Macca, I suppose we spoke to Shane Moon, and the first thing we said was we hope that Matt Scott is okay.
Yeah, so it's very sad to hear that news has probably meant the end of his career. I know he was going to retire, but the main thing is that you remain healthy when you retire and enjoy, you know, life after footy. And we hope that perhaps in one way that it's happened in a minor way that may enable him to get any treatment that he needs and he can live a long and happy life after footy.
Yes, we certainly hope that will be the case. Now, the team of the decade, your thoughts on the team of the decade, Macca, Billy Slater and so on.
Yeah, hard to argue, Gordon, with any of those guys. They're all great players, and when you look at the talent that's there, it would be a pretty handy side running out there for any team, wouldn't it? But look at Billy Slater, Thurston, Cronk, Cameron Smith in the spine. You couldn't get a better spine than that, and no wonder Queensland dominated for most of the decade.
Well, that's where it all is, isn't it? And you look at that team, you can see why they dominate. I think maybe the team of the decade for the next decade might be a little bit different.
Yeah,
I see a swing to the Blues. Yeah,
and you look back on the great sides of previous decades, in the Canberra Raiders side of 94 and the Broncos of 92, 93, the last team that went back-to-back, they also had great spines as well. So it's very hard to compete against a side that's got great players like that in it.
Exactly right. And I think the panel has all agreed that there wouldn't be one of those players in that top team that you wouldn't have. Questioned Steve Maddie in the seconds team, but that was about all. And Macca, news this week, of course, Peter Beattie, Nathan Brown, going, gone.
Yes. Did we pick Nathan Brown going as quick as that happened? But I've got to say, I saw him interviewed last night, and I've got to say, he impresses me greatly, the way that he will not criticise, he will not bag anybody. Very rare for a rugby league coach to leave basically smiling, walking out the door, and he was full of compliments to the club and Phil Gardner, and he just handled himself immaculately. I think he's a first class coach. I think he struggled a little bit with what he walked into, and I think he's saying in the interview last night that he said to his wife, we'll be wooden spooners the first 2 years, but somewhere down the track, the work that he's done may pay out to be a premiership, in the future.
Yes, it certainly could be the case, and Peter Volandi's set to replace Peter Beattie.
Outstanding. He'll be an outstanding commissioner or head commissioner. Three people, John Grant, Peter Beattie, Peter Volandi's. I think Volandi's will prove to be the best of all of them.
Yes, I think that probably will be proof in the pudding in a very short period of time. Well, Macca, let's turn our attention now to round 23 of the NRL. And, of course, all starts tonight with the Eels up against the Dogs.
Well, you talk about decades, you go back to the 80s, and these two sides, just unbelievable matches. Grand finals, matches at Belmore, matches at Cogra. It always brings out the best in both sides, and tonight the Eels would go in as warm favourites, but having the Dogs done fantastically well, as we've spoken about. Five out of seven games they've won, six out of eight.
Didn't they do the same last year? They finished strong at the end of last season, too.
Well, they did, but they did, and there's no prizes for doing that.
But no, there's not.
I suppose it shows that there has been some upward movement in their performances this year. Very difficult when you're coming in as a first year, early stage second year coach of any club. Until you get the players that you want in that team, particularly as we keep saying in a spine, it's very difficult to get the best out of them. And Dean Pay, look, he's been treading the tightrope all year. I don't know even now whether he's any more secure in his role going forward than he was 6 weeks ago.
So, Macca, your selection?
I have to go to Parramatta. We're business end of the season. Hard to see them surrendering 2 points tonight, particularly in a game that means a fair bit.
Robbo?
Yeah, I agree with that one.
That'd Mal?
Silly to give
away. Eels all the way.
Shane Moon's gone the Eels. Steve, you'll go the Eels. So it's Eels all round there, Macca. Now, tomorrow night up in North Queensland, Cowboys up against the Panthers. Will the real Panthers stand up after their poor performance last week?
I had them in the eight, out of the eight, in the eight.
Hold on,
yeah, it's just amazing, like a yo-yo. Look, if they're going to make the finals, they have to win. It's simple as that. If they don't win, they'll probably lose. Well, they're probably not in control of their own destiny at the moment, so they'll lose track, and would be almost impossible for them to get there with only two rounds to go after this week.
So you're going for the Panthers?
I'm going for the Panthers.
I'm going for the Panthers. Robbo?
I'm going to stick with the
Cowboys. You're
going
the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Mal?
Panthers.
Panthers. Shane Moon's gone the Panthers. Steve?
Panthers.
Panthers. And let's see how that pans out up there in North Queensland.
Still hanging on that last bit, the Tigers might get a win.
Well, it's there's still a mathematical possibility. The moment you say that, Macca, you've got no chance.
So are the Bulldogs. I was watching Ken was saying the Bulldogs are still mathematical. Yeah. Some teams have to win no games.
Well, someone's got to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think they've
right.
got to win one game by 100 points, though, because they're four against them.
That can still happen, though.
It can still happen. You never know. Well, one of the most important matches for the Broncos on Friday night as well. They're up against the South Sydney Rabbits. Sam Burge is out. The Rabbits. We spoke about them on Monday. They're not getting out of their burrow very well, Macca.
No, they're not. Gee, it's a hard one, isn't it? This is a real tough game. The Broncos got the 2 points away. The Rabbits threw their 2 points away. It's difficult. This is a really difficult game. I think I'll go for the Broncos. I just think they've probably got just a bit more momentum going at the moment, and I think they might get up, even though a couple of suspensions, unusual for the Broncos to lose players like that.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, Robbo?
I'm going to go for the Bunnies.
You're going the Rabbits?
Yeah, they got all the Burgess boys here. I'm going to go for the Bunnies. Same thing.
Mal?
Yeah, Rabbits.
Rabbits. Shane's gone the Broncos. Steve?
Bunnies.
You're going the Rabbits. Well, I'll go the Broncos with you, Macca. Well, I'll stick firm with the referee, mate. Don't you worry about that. Okay, I'm on your side.
I've heard that before.
Cut it out.
Just call me Cameron. Now, Saturday afternoon, the Sharks up against the Warriors. Oh, if the Warriors bring their team, they'll win, but you wouldn't think so down there at Shark Park, Macca.
No, again, very much like the Panthers, the Sharks have to win. You know, they played pretty ordinary last week, didn't they, against the Dragons, but got home, and maybe they're going to scrape into the eight. I probably can see them getting there, but only just, but they must win this weekend.
Yes, I agree with you there. So you're going the Sharks. Robbo?
Yeah, I've got the Sharks too.
Mal?
Yeah, Sharks.
Sharks. Too. Shane's gone the Sharks. Steve?
Sharks.
And I'll go the Sharks as well there. Well, probably one of the most important matches for both teams. Still mathematical possibilities. The West Tigers up against the Newcastle Knights at Campbelltown Stadium. Should be at least 5,000 people there. Macca?
Should be a good game. I think this will be a good game. I think the Knights... last week, Pearce and Ponga played their best footy since Origin. And if they both fire, they should win. And I think there could be, you know, as we keep talking about players leaving the dressing room and looking in the mirror, some of these Knights players have got to do that because they've lost a really good coach. And I think they've got to take some responsibility for that. The problem was they won six in a row. Everybody's expectations went through the roof, and then they lost six in a row, seven in a row. So, you know, how do you reconcile that as a coach? It must be really challenging and must play on your mind every day of the week. You know, how do I get this side to be the best they can be? And, you know, sometimes it's up to the players. They've got to take responsibility. But the Knights for me.
You're going for the Knights. Robbo, there's no point us selecting. We'll just go for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Mal?
Yeah, I'll go with the Tigers.
Shane Moon's gone the Knights. And Steve?
Tigers.
You're going for the Tigers. Yeah, interesting there. Well, the other game on Saturday night, the Dragons up against the Roosters at Jubilee, Macca.
Do they have the mercy rule in place?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
In NRL. Look, all year, St George, they're better than what they've been showing there. But last week, I've never seen a game where a team just made so many basic errors and dropped the ball and kicked the ball out in the full and Widdop's kicks went into people. And, you know, you can't see them beating the Roosters. The Roosters are the form side of the competition and they could put 30 to 40 points on the Dragons. I'm that confident that the Roosters are hitting form at the right time.
First half, though, you meaning?
Well, I might have to declare at half time.
Maybe Steve Smith could bat for them. But, yes, that's another story. Yes, I certainly think the Dragons will be in for a pretty torrid evening on Saturday night down there at Jubilee Stadium. Well, Sunday afternoon, the Melbourne Storm, and this is another one where they might need the mercy rule up against the Titans, but I'm expecting the Titans to show a bit of grit, Macca.
Yes, I think Storm would have rested a number of players had they not lost last weekend. I think the fact that they lost will ensure that their coach, Craig Bellamy, keeps them out on the field. So they'll win and they'll win well.
Yes, I can't see them blowing an 18-0 lead ever again, Macca.
No, not in our lifetime.
Well and truly. So I think everyone will be going for the Storm all round there against the Titans.
And, of course, probably the second, well, equal top match of the round with the Raiders up against the Eagles down there in snowy Canberra, Macca.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a flashback. I know they had the retro round recently. This is a flashback to when the Canberra Raiders really dominated the landscape in rugby league. And it's on the back of, you know, the English players that have come over and just really hard running, hard tackling, ball pinching, whatever you want to call it. They just do it all. They're a really good side. However, they're up against a side that has a good record against them, and I think Manly are the real deal, and I'm picking Manly in a bit of a shock to beat the Raiders at home.
Well, you must have seen my selections because I'm taking the Eagles as well.
Yeah, well, I saw the same. Like,
Robbo.
Yeah, I'm going to go Manly, but Manly's got a big run into the finals, haven't they? They've got Canberra, Melbourne and Parramatta. Like, they've got a hard ask in front of them, and I think this will be the start of their run into the finals.
Mal.
Yeah.
Well, I picked the Raiders to beat the Storm, and I picked the Raiders again.
Steve?
Yeah, Raiders.
And Shane Moon's gone for the Raiders. Well, it's going to be a great game to finish off round 23, Macca. There's no doubt about that down there in Canberra. It'll be a fantastic match. And I think one of the losses for the Manly side is Curtis Sirenan's not out there again.
Yeah, and you know, they don't play as well without him. I think over the last 2 years, every time he's been injured or missed, you know, a number of weeks, Manly struggle. He just does so much work for them, and that he's a great attacking link. That back line of Manly's is quite potent when it gets moving. So, look, I think Manly will hold Canberra in the forwards. Josh Papali's been, no doubt, I think, the best front rower in the game, and to see him crash over last week to win the game for the Raiders was something special.
Now, I suppose with that big win by Manly by the Raiders last week, how much would that have taken out of them in that match against the Storm?
Oh, look, it was emotional the week before when they didn't win. So it was a big win for them. They had to win it. And, look, it's hard to line up how teams go after playing Storm because there's not too many teams win week in, week out against the Storm. And, look, I think there are some teams that it takes a bit out of you, and I think Storm playing them, defending against them, being tackled by them, being, you know, having your ears pinched and all the stuff that goes on.
Mm. He was only pulling at the jersey, Macca.
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget about rubbish on the face.
Clearing out the wax.
Well, let's call it for what it is. You know, you tack his ears. That's he should have been charged with attacking the ears. But what I don't get, in seriousness, what I don't get is he went back into the tackle. The tackle was completed. And he went back in and placed his hands on pressure points around the temple and whatever. I'm surprised that, I'm not surprised, but he should have been charged for that, in my view. I just think if you hit it on the head now, you won't have any more of it. The problem is you don't take action against it, and players are slow learners, and they keep doing it. Until someone gets charged and misses the semi-final, then all hell will break loose.
Yes.
Well, Greg McCallum, thank you for joining us here on The Grapple on 101.5 FM Sports. Good luck with your selections on the weekend, listeners, and we'll look forward to your company during Monday Sports Roundup from 9:30 a.m. here on 101.5 FM Sports.